Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Tim Challies. He is a dear brother in Christ. He is a writer. He is a blogger, a pioneer in the Christian blogosphere, having one of the most widely read and recognized Christian blogs. He is husband to Aileen and a father to three children aged 11 to 17. He worships and serves as an elder at Grace Fellowship Church in Toronto, Ontario. And he also reviews books and is co-founder of Cruciform Press. Five books have been written by him. They are some really good books, one of which, Do More Better, we used for staff training here at our ministry. We're glad to have him on the broadcast. Tim, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Recently, you did a piece that caught my eye, and I shared it with our whole staff. But I wanted to share it not just with the staff, but with our radio listeners and folks who follow us on the web. The title of this article that Tim did is called, "Please Don't Give Them Porn for Christmas." Please don't give them porn for Christmas. Well, amen. Why in the world would you even have to tell people that, Tim?
Well, sadly, there used to be a time when giving people pornography meant giving them something that was very obviously pornography. Today, what we do is give people devices that can be used to access it. And so, if we're not careful, we may just be equipping our children to experience things they don't know exist, or at least giving them a medium they can use to discover it and perhaps even to learn to enjoy it or to make it a regular part of their lives.
Yeah. And as you said, this is not what parents intended to do, but it happens anyway because the first iPod, the first tablet, the first laptop, these are things that parents are convinced their children need, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and even if they're not convinced they need them, they're perhaps convinced they ought to have them, or all the other kids have one, so you reluctantly give your child one. And honestly, as a parent of younger kids today, it's hard because if your kids want to be able to even communicate with other kids, they kind of need these devices. So gone are the days when you used to go knock on someone else's door and say, "Can you come out and play?" Today you got to text that person to find out if they want to play, if they want to hang out. So
Right. If
you completely remove those devices, in many ways you're removing your children's ability to even communicate with their friends. So it's hard as a parent to know when do you get these things and which ones do you get and how do you keep your kids from falling into problems with them.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that parents need to understand, and I would hope that they would, because most of the parents themselves have devices. But the fact is, if you pay attention to what is coming to you on the internet and on the television, you don't have to go searching for porn anymore. It'll come to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really depends on what your definition of pornography is, too, because what we used to consider pornography today is you can see on billboards posted over the city. People don't even think much of it anymore.
Yep.
But as the definition has gotten worse and worse, then even that really base and the most vile of all stuff is very accessible to us.
So, absolutely.
It's all around us. And, you know, it used to be a matter of we used to have to expend a lot of effort and a lot of money in getting porn. Today we have to expend effort and money in not getting porn and keeping it away.
Exactly.
So the whole economy has completely reversed itself.
Yep, that's absolutely true. It used to be that it was considered kind of a shameful thing, and people went in search of it to smutty places and back rooms and that kind of thing. Now it is bombarding us, as you said, on billboards and television shows and commercials for restaurants. I mean, just all kinds of avenues. And if you've got a phone, and they call it a smartphone, But if you've got a phone that has internet, you're going to be given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And, and including, for instance, it's not just pop-up ads. It's if your child goes to search something on Google, pornographers put, I mean, they have people who, for a living, come up with innocent-sounding things that could easily be confused with stuff your kids would innocently be looking for. So your child may put in a search for a subject that, and I'm not going to propose any here, but they can put in a search topic, and they'll be given as one of the options something that sounds an awful lot like what they said, but it's not. It is a doorway to hell. I mean, it is terrible stuff. Now, Tim, you've come up with some resources to help families with this, something called the Porn-Free Family Plan, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was really just coming out of my own family, trying to understand how we as a family can raise kids that are in but not of this world, and we didn't want to, you know, the temptation is to lock your kids away, to put them behind four strong walls and to keep them there until they're all grown up.
That's what I did.
Right, of course. That's what we all want to do anyways. And, of course, what we find is that we as parents, our job is not to protect our children as much as to disciple them, right? We can't just lock them away and let them free on the world when they're 21 or they'll have no idea how to live in this world.
Amen.
So part of training our children, part of discipling our children is learning them, teaching them how to use these devices. So our parenting means at some point giving our children access to these things and then discipling them, teaching them how to use them well so that when we do let our kids go, when they do leave our care, they know how to use these things. And so the plan that I came up with is really it tries to put barriers in place to keep your children from these things, but then slowly over time to remove those barriers as kids develop the kind of character that means hopefully they're not looking for those things anymore. They're using their devices well instead of using them poorly. And
yes,
so many of the problems we've had with pornography has been parents just handing their kids devices, not knowing what would happen when their kid got hold of those devices. So
yep,
we understand today what will happen. We know that it won't be good. So
right,
our job then is to train our children.
Amen. I think also we have to know that not all children are the same, even within families. And
yeah,
not everybody responds to things the same way. One of my kids started the University of Tennessee this summer that he turned 15. And obviously we were not trying to shelter him from the world out there. This was a case where we turned the Christian loose on the lions. And he went off to the university, a passionate follower of Jesus Christ, eager to share the gospel, and has done very well since. I mean, he went on from UT to law school and is in ministry today. But he's the only one that we sent off at age 15 to the university. The others had to wait until they were 17. We wanted our children to go into the world prepared to serve as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And so it wasn't just a matter of trying to protect them from the world's influence. It was, as you said, discipling them and equipping them so that when they faced these challenges, they would face them as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. And that makes a world of difference. But there are also some things that we can do to protect them from unnecessary and unhelpful assaults by the enemy. And one of the things you talked about right at the start of this porn-free family plan is that a thorough plan, you say, needs to account for three types of devices. This is very, very important for families. Listen. Fixed devices, mobile devices, and other people's devices. You see, even if you try and keep your kids from having access to this stuff, unless you don't let them out of the house, they will have access to this kind of stuff. And so equipping your child to handle these things responsibly, I mean, just try to tell them, don't touch your friend's phone. kids are showing each other stuff on phones all the time. You want your child to know how to respond when their friend says, well, here, you want to use my phone? Or you got to play this game. This is really, I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff out there. And lots of it is actually very good. But there's lots of it that is really rotten. And so, again, just taking into account that there are those three different kinds of devices is very important. Because if you just deal with one of them, if you only deal with the fixed devices at home, or you only try and deal with the mobile devices that you entrust to your kids, that's not enough. But then you say the first thing is to come up with a plan. Is that right?
Yeah. And so a plan involves technology taking hold of some of the tools that are available to us. But I think what we find just generally as we study the human interaction with technology, we find that when technology causes a problem or at least exacerbates a problem, we then expect different technology to solve the problem. So there's tons of pornography on our mobile devices, tons of pornography on the internet. What we want to do then is implement some kind of software that will then stand between our phones and the world and keep all that stuff at bay. But all pornography really does is expose the longing of the human heart, right? There was that same longing in our grandparents' day. They just didn't have access to it the way we did.
Yeah.
Not that they were better or purer. It was just very hard to get a hold of pornography. Today it's easy, and we're seeing just what a huge market is. The Kindle gave women the ability to read 50 Shades of Grey, you know, which was essentially just literary, that's probably too nice a word for it, but
yeah,
literary pornography. And so all of this technology has done is expose what's really in our heart. So what we don't want to do is just put technology in place and hope that will hold it back. We need to address the heart.
Amen.
And so for our children, we need to assume that the longing, the sinful longings of their heart will be the same sinful longings as anyone else's until and unless the Lord saves them. And so right there at the point of the heart is where we go after. We use those tools to keep these things back. We don't want our kids to stumble into this stuff when they're young and get addicted to it, and then that's a whole different battle to fight. But if we can use those tools to hold off the hordes of hell so we can address our children's character and help them grow in character, well, then now as they have the ability later to look at those kinds of things, they won't even want to, we trust, because they will have had time to grow and to mature.
That's excellent. Talk with me about Covenant Eyes. I know that's a software that has been very, very helpful to people I know.
Yeah, so Covenant Eyes, and there's several others like it, is accountability software, it's called. The purpose of the software is to monitor what you're doing online and then to report back to somebody else to tell you what you've been doing online. The idea being that if I know that somebody's going to see what I've done, it'll keep me from doing bad stuff. And that's a great thing. Again, I want to be careful to say that while that software is good, it is not the end solution. God doesn't save us just so we can not sin, right? God saves us so we can be holy, so we can do what is right in his eyes.
Amen.
And so again, if that software is holding back these great temptations, that's great. Don't rest. Grow in holiness. Pursue purity. And while that sin is being held back, and I think we all want to be in a place where we don't need that software, where that isn't the only thing that's keeping us back from sinning. It's a helpful tool, but we want our character to be so shaped by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, we don't even want to sin anymore.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Folks, do you see why I wanted Tim to come on this broadcast? He's given us a good word. All right. Now, Tim, you also talk about something here, and I'm going to introduce it this way by saying it's very important to respect your children's privacy with regard to computer use. Is that right?
I think it depends. When your kids are young, I don't think they should have any expectation of privacy on their devices. If they get older and are getting closer and closer to leaving the house and they're starting to pay their own bills and buy their own devices, I think as a parent, you then have to naturally release them. And so, I think there's that when your kid first gets a phone or an iPod or some sort of access to a screen and text messaging, make sure the child knows mom and dad have the ability to look whenever they want, and we will look to see what you're doing. By the time they're 17, 18, or whenever, 16, or getting ready to go off to college, hopefully by then you can entrust them with a little bit more and, you know, maybe keep less of an eye on them. I think parents have to guard against being overbearing. I've talked to parents who would be, you know, just, I think, borderline abusive in the way they're trying to keep their kids from sinning. At some point, you know, we as parents, we make our best effort and we entrust our children to the Lord and trust that he will continue to convict them of sin. It's not our job to be the Holy Spirit, to convict our children of sin. Mm-hmm. We do what we can within the bounds of our parents to teach and train them. And, mm-hmm. You know, it takes different forms and, in a sense, loosening forms as our kids grow up.
That's a little more relaxed than this printed copy that I've got here. It says your children, and especially young children, should have no expectation of privacy when they use their devices.
But when your son is 17 years old and he's 6 months away from heading off to college, hopefully you're not hovering over him and demanding to track every keystroke he makes. You know, hopefully by then your parenting is taking effect. Hopefully by then he has grown in character. Hopefully by then you're beginning to entrust them more and more. If your child is continually diving into porn and things, then okay, I can see that you have to take more radical steps. But there does come a time, though, where a parent just has to say, all right, that's between you and the Lord, right? Yep. I mean, when you're in my house, fine, but if that's your phone and your bills, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to keep challenging you on here, but I can't hover over you like you're a six-year-old. So that's a difficult part of parenting, you know, to let your children sin sometimes and realize you can't bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit against them. Mm-hmm. That's the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit's job, and he does it when his time is right. And sometimes it requires your children to suffer. It requires your children to endure all sorts of self-imposed ugliness.
Yeah. Well, and obviously, even though you cannot hover over and try and observe every keystroke, you can get down on your knees and pray that the God who sees every keystroke will do what is needed in your child's life.
Yeah. Absolutely. And have great confidence that he will. You know, we really believe that our children have an immense privilege. And yes, it's a privilege to be raised in a Christian home. The greatest privilege our children have is the privilege of being raised around the gospel. They hear the gospel day after day in the home. They mm-hmm. Hear it through the Bible as we read it as a family. They hear it in church. And we just believe so strongly that the gospel takes effect. You know, God works through the gospel. So we expose our kids to the good news of Jesus Christ. And we trust that it will take root in their hearts and bring them to salvation. And then, of course, they'll want to grow in the Lord and put sin to death and come alive to righteousness.
Amen. Amen. I am so thankful for the privilege of seeing that God loves my children even more than I do.
Yes.
And, you know, he knows exactly what's going on in their lives. And let me tell you, I've got seven kids, and some of them are absolutely passionate followers of Jesus Christ. All of them credibly profess faith. On the other hand, we've had two of our kids, arguably three out of seven, who in various ways, at various stages in their development, battled addiction, including two to pornography. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we adopted four of our seven children, and some of them, let's just say, came with a lot of baggage and an inclination toward bondage in particular areas. And God loves those kids. It's not a situation where, well, okay, I guess I'll love them because they're yours. No, they're ours because God loved them and loved us and saw fit to bring us together as family. And I want to encourage parents out there that the power of prayer is real, and that you can take these things to God and say, Lord, I can't fix this. This is beyond my reach. But it's not beyond your reach, and you know how to get through to these kids. Please, Lord. And we have seen God do amazing things in the lives of our children. So please, parents, don't give up and don't feel like you've got to be God. When I do parenting conferences, the title usually is Working Yourself Out of a Job. And Tim, that's what you've been describing, that, you know, the way you treat a child's access to a computer is different than the way you treat a young adult's access to a computer, because your kids should be working toward a transition to independence. And you as a parent should be helping them in that direction. We joke about the fact that when I was growing up, my parents would give us a tricycle when we were preschoolers. And then when we got to be around 5 or 6, we got a bicycle. And then when we got to be 16, we got a driver's license. And when we got to be 18, we were given luggage. And the idea was, as we were growing up, our parents talked with us about, you know, what do you sense as God's call on your life? Where would you like to live? What would you like to do? The idea was not, is there anything special you want me to fix for supper? It was, you're going to be moving on. And we'll look forward to seeing what God does with your life. But there's a future for you out there. And so what we're doing here at home is designed to prepare you for that, for service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as you said, Tim, holiness is the goal, not just trying to be protected behind a wall so that we never are tempted to sin. Jesus was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted to bow down and worship Satan. But temptation is not sin. However, don't set yourself up for temptation. Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Tim, in this material, you have some wonderful, wonderful counsel for families. You did this back in 2014. It's still, as I look at it, as best I can tell, it's pretty up to date.
Yeah, it still works. We still use it in my home. There's been a few new devices that have come and gone, and you might have heard of a Circle device that came out a couple of years ago, very helpful way of supplementing what I've got here. But no, honestly, this plan I created, I think, still holds up pretty well.
Okay.
And I think that's because really the focus is not tools. The focus is mom and dad growing their kids in godly character. As long as your focus is on there, the tools can come and go. But the laser focus is, how will you make a difference in the lives of your kids? How will you teach and train them? You know, there's one thing, as we were talking earlier, I was just thinking, how many of us, as we share our story of how we came to faith, have to talk about some of those dark valleys we dug ourselves into on our path to salvation? And we all want, as parents, we want our kids to have those boring, terrible word for it, testimonies of where they just... they grew up in a Christian home and made a profession of faith at a young age and never really struggled deeply. I mean, that's what we want for our children. And for some of our children, that's the case. But for some of our children, they will find that their road to salvation leads through self-imposed trouble. And for some, that will be addictions. That will be just other ways of exposing their inclination to sin, other ways of exposing their deep desire to do what God forbids. And so I think for a lot of kids, pornography has been that. They've been shocked by their desire for it, shocked by their inability to stop looking at it.
Yep.
And then the Lord has taken hold of that to show them, you are a sinner, you need grace, and look what I can do in your life if you'll trust me, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. So I think when our kids are struggling that way, I think we as parents can just see it. Let's pray that the Lord uses that. Let's just pray that this brings our kids to the end of themselves. They realize, I can't get out of this. I am a deep sinner, and hopefully the Lord uses that then, having exposed their sin, to then show them his glory.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Thank you, brother. Now, I want our listeners to know what it'll cost them to buy the Porn-Free Family Plan. Tim, how much are you charging for this?
You go to my website, it's just there.
It's free. Did you hear that, folks? It's free. He wants you to be able to have this material free of charge. Tim, give us your website.
It's just chalies.com, chalies.com. That simple.
That is simple, and that is good. Mm-hmm. And it is a good website with lots of other wonderful material as well. But please, folks, don't give them porn for Christmas. Go to the website, chalies.com, and please get the material, and you'll be glad you did. Tim, thanks so much for coming on the broadcast.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.